We live across the street from a elementary school, and it was always a blessing that when our children were young, Derek started out there in kindergarten. Megan started out there in second grade, because there's 2 years apart. And so it was amazing as a family, when they were so small, we could send them out, just send them off wide across the street and on to school all by themselves. And that was exciting. So over the years, all of the activities of the school we've watched, and the sports and the programs. But there's one thing that every year you can't hardly miss. It's the annual Halloween March, if you could call it that, because on the day coming up to Halloween, which was yesterday, today being Halloween, all the kids have dressed up in all of their outfits, and they bring them all outside the school so that they can all walk up and down the sidewalk and see each other in mass. And so I was there at the house, and Michelle commented, "Hey, the children are assembling," and you go out and they've got all the different outfits and the uniforms on, and again, it's just a big celebration for them. It's just a party. They don't think of it in any historical context. They're not looking back at where this festival and where these observances came from. You know, they're just having a good time. And some people would ask them, well, what's wrong with having a little fun? It's just fun. A little harmless fun. Front page of our paper today had a full page of articles on Halloween and costumes up in the Spokesman Review, and it mentions the some of the most popular costumes. So what do you imagine they would be? Well, one was a vampire. And the vampire, because of the recent movies and focus on vampires in the media. And then it mentioned a couple of movie stars, or at least popular individuals. Michael Jackson was very popular. That's scary. That scares me. But, you know, that was probably one of the very most popular costumes across this country this year is Michael Jackson. So they're all just doing what they think is right and what they believe is the best. And I remember over the years, we have a folder in our, when I went to look in my Halloween file to just see what I had put in there in reference over the years, there's a folder that Michelle had in there of letters that were written years ago to the school explaining why we don't keep the holidays, explaining why we, you know, what we do keep. In one case, a request was made there that says, couldn't we have a winter festival and a spring festival and just a fall festival, so that anyone that wanted to participate, it would be able to be included as compared to something more specific. I do remember when that came up one time, again, over at the grade school, it wasn't the children who got upset, it was the parents. And it wasn't the fathers, it was the mothers. The mothers wanted their children to have a party in a very specific way. They were invested. So we've watched that play out, but again, what's wrong with just having a little fun? Look at Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. I think Halloween is so clear-cut to us in the church that it's almost not worth a discussion, you would think, in terms of being able to even needing to address it, because it's so obvious. I've actually, a lady who cuts my hair catches the brunt end of whatever she asks me a question about. And we'll be sitting there, and she's very friendly and a wonderful, positive lady, and she'll say something. And I got a haircut this week, and something came up. And actually, it became a talk about politics. And she talked about how I had to be careful not to be political as a minister. I says, yes, we're not political in that way. She says, it would be tough because you'd have both Democrats and Republicans sitting right there in your congregation. I said, not really. Now, I said, our church is conservative. We're not Republican, okay? We're conservative. And I said, frankly, the Bible's conservative in fundamental ways. I said, I don't need to speak politically to address, if you don't work, you don't eat, okay? I don't need, I said, so socialism compared to other forms of freedom in terms of merchandising or economy, I said, can be addressed in principle. I said, the Bible said don't kill, so I can address abortion, and I don't have to go to a political platform to do that. So I said, the fact is, there are things in the Bible that, quite frankly, the way liberal political philosophy is presented, that would be in contrast in a dramatic way. But when I said abortion is murder, there's only two of us in the room, and it got quiet. And I think she's fairly conservative herself because of the comments she's made in terms of what's taking place. But to say that is so stark to a person who lives in a society where you do not judge, you might disagree. Well, if that's what you believe, that's up to you. But as for me, you know, and we live in a society where you just don't call it what it is. And when you lay it out as clean as it is murder, it is not just a piece of flesh, it is a human life that is being destroyed. Literally, the room was two of us, but it went quiet. Well, that's the way Halloween lays out to us as well. It's just, what do you mean vampires and demons and skeletons and coffins, witches? How could there even be a discussion on the point, is what we would say. In fact, I titled my sermon, Celebrating with Satan. If Satan invited you to a party, would you go? No, obviously. But that's what Halloween is. It is a celebration in honor of him. Now, like I say, that is so stark and clean to us that we could lay that out without a question. But in this society, they simply look at it a different way. We have to be careful. We have to be careful where those lines go and the lines that we cross, not only in what we understand, but in the things that we do as well. Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were once darkness. Didn't say you were out there and you just didn't understand. It says you were darkness. That's what Satan is. Satan's holidays portray darkness. God's holy days portray light and truth and purity. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. No tooth fairies, no, you know, little cutesy stories to explain something that simply isn't true. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, with the habits, the customs, the relationships and associations that play out in that way. It doesn't say do not be friends with anybody in this world. It doesn't say that. It says, but rather expose them. So that our light, darkness is what? I looked it up. It says it's the absence of light. And it says it's almost impossible to attain. Because even if it's not visible light, there's other bandwidths of radiation that would be present. But it just said we should, by our own example, expose or reduce the darkness. The darkness goes away where there's light. It says it's shameful to even speak of those things that are done by them in secret, in the dark. But all things that are exposed are made manifest. What's manifest? Made known, made obvious by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So it's portraying those in darkness as being dead, because they don't have life in them yet. When God calls them and they respond, then life comes. Halloween is simply darkness. And it is darkness in its most dramatic sense. Dressed up with tinsel and bows sometimes. Comes from ancient Celtic traditions. When Rome went to Britain to make war, they actually picked up their traditions and brought them back into what became European society. But it came out of the Celtic ways. It was a festival. The festival that became Halloween was a festival in honor of Samhain, which was the Lord of the Dead. Who is the Lord of the Dead? It says right here. It says, wake your sleep, arise from the dead. It's Satan's system. It was a festival in honor of Satan. That's why it took on the nature and character that it did. The Druids observed October 31st as the last day of the year. November 1st was the start of the beginning of the next year. So in that sense, it was a New Year's celebration. But it was also what they looked at as the beginning of winter. Now, there's an analogy that applies here in the way they looked at the year as well. And think of a daytime, 24 hours. And the Bible says, well, aren't there 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night? Well, not exactly all the time, but yeah, that's the point is half of it's day and half of it's night. And the day is light and the night is dark. And in that sense, they looked at the year as winter began in the beginning of the year and summer was the other half. Half of the year was portrayed by dark and half of the year is portrayed by light. Now, it's interesting. Think of the holy days. The first holy day is in the spring, effectively, okay? And all the holy days play out because they're harvest festivals and they finish in the fall. All the holy days are in what? The light. Now, all of the holiday, the main holiday observances are when? In the dark, at the opposite polar part of the year. Does that mean winter's no good? No. Winter is God's creation. But the analogy, and with the Druids, was that the beginning of winter, or the dark months, began with what has become Halloween. And it is part of the way their religion played out. Jude 5. Is it interesting that Christians took the symbol of the cross, which was a shame. It was a shame to be crucified, and whether it was the cross or the stake, because there's argument depending on the word and what was used in those customs. But they took the symbol that was the shame of dying as a criminal in a humiliating way, and they elevated that as to their emblem that represents what they use for themselves. Well, what is the shame of the punishment of the demons? The shame of the punishment of the demons is to be cast into outer darkness, away from the presence of God's creation and His light. And so what do you think Satan has elevated as the emblem that represents his system? It's the same difference. He took the darkness and he made it the emblem. In that sense, obviously it's used against him, but Satan thrives in the dark, and the dark is what he has placed and laid down the basic holiday observances that are his. Jude 5, I'm turning to 1 John, let me just get back here. Can't go to James when you want Jude. Doesn't work. There it is. Jude 5. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 12. It goes through those who rebel and turn away. It says, these are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they're clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. But it goes into the fate as well of where the source of the evil is the demons and Satan. It just says, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. There are various passages that reflect on that, but again, what God portrayed the punishment of Satan and the demons would be is what effectively they have taken as their image anyway. There are 8 celebrations in Satan's holiday plan, and probably goes back a number of years, maybe 4 or 5, since I addressed that. But let's take the main ones, at least, that are in the winter or the dark. All right, Halloween is the beginning. If you take the 4 points of the year, you have the winter solstice and you have the summer solstice. And that would be effectively the longest bright part in the summer and the largest dark part in the winter. Okay, the winter solstice is Christmas. That's what lays in there. So in the spring and the fall, you have the equinox. So you have the spring equinox where you're halfway between light and dark, and the fall equinox halfway between light and dark. So you've got the 4 points of a compass, so to speak. But then you have the split point between each of the equinoxes and the solstice, which gives you 4 more points. And on Satan's holiday plan, if you took the whole package, you have 8 festivals that go through each of those points of that compass in that way. In the winter, you start with Halloween at the beginning of the year from the Druids, and you move to the winter solstice, which is Christmas, and you move to the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, which is Valentine's Day, Lupercalia, it was called in Roman times, and then you move to the spring equinox, which is Easter. Now that's the weight of the holiday observances, to go from Halloween to Christmas to Valentine's Day to Easter. In that sense, they are all in the dark. Now, the summer schedule includes things like May Day. There's a rest festival that falls basically about the time we would have Labor Day. And there are other ones that are not as heavily observed, at least not in our culture and our time. Midsummer is the summer solstice. So there are points of those as well. But those are not so heavily observed. The weight and the focus of Satan's system is in the winter and the dark of the year. Look at John chapter 3. It's so graphic when you look at it in this term. John 3:16. Wow, God so loved the world that man didn't love God. God loved man. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. This is what Christ brought, was light. That the men loved darkness rather than light. Even in the festival observances that are Satan's system, men loved darkness. They celebrate their holidays with the weight in the winter, because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. We were talking on the way down a little bit. You know, what do you do in a bar, or what do you do in an environment where you want to be able to go out and nightclub? Well, you have to turn the lights down. Why do you turn the lights down? Well, it produces an atmosphere that's a little better. Now, we're not talking about turning the lights out so you can go to bed and go to sleep. That's pretty normal. I remember with the teen dances over the years in the church and how much pressure there was to turn down the lights. And I would say, okay, what for? It's better atmosphere. For what? Well, for dancing. How come? Do you turn down the lights when you have a square dance? Does it help dance better to turn down lights? Well, no. It's a more intimate atmosphere. It gives a little softer, more intimate atmosphere. Well, you know what? That's not what I want to do at a teen dance. I'm not looking to produce a more intimate atmosphere. But again, it pulls it along because that's what society would do or say. It says, men loved darkness rather than light. You can say, well, that has just meaning in terms of truth. It does mean that. But no, it really also means physical darkness. Because under the cover of darkness, then certain things are done. When we lived in Boise, when we first went out to the field ministry, Boise, I don't know what it was, 100,000 at that time, and you'd go to Ontario and you would be in a small community church, and then you'd go out to Baker City and it would be even smaller yet. And as you went to Baker, it was more rural and more family oriented, and as you went to Ontario, it was halfway in between. As you went to Boise, you were now in a city atmosphere with city entertainment, and it was amazing to see. But the family structure weakened as you put people together in a city, and it strengthened as you put people together in a rural setting, because in the city, people become anonymous. They are not accountable to each other in the same way. I remember when we lived in Anaconda, Montana, as a child, and we were downtown skipping school or something, and mom or dad didn't know. We were where we were not supposed to be, and somebody actually recognized us, knew that we weren't supposed to be there, and called our parents. Well, that wouldn't happen in a big city because it wouldn't be even an issue. So accountability begins to reduce in that sense when we become more anonymous. We become anonymous in the dark. And there is a reason that people take advantage of those types of things. Halloween is a celebration of darkness. It is a celebration that honors Satan. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. Just contrasts that to this Christian life, to what we should represent. 1 John 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if there's things that we need to hide or do that are anonymous or in such a way where no one can see us, we told our children growing up, every single thing that they owned in the house, in their rooms, would be considered open to us if we ever chose to do so. There were no private diaries. They were private as long as we felt there was no need to look. We didn't want to just go read anything they wrote or read or did or had no privacy in any way. But we told them, we raised them up in that sense. As you grow up, if there's ever a problem and we feel that we need to look, we're telling you now, we will. There'll be nothing so private that you forbid us to see if you live in this house. Because things that are so private, they have to be hidden. In some ways, oftentimes, are also simply not right. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because we live openly, we walk openly, we don't have to worry about somebody inspecting or looking inside something that we have hidden. Israel turned to darkness early on. You know the story coming out of Egypt, but I want to give you a specific reference that references where the festival came from in the eighth month that in time included demonism, which obviously is more than coincidental being part of Satan's system. that it falls at the same time today as Halloween. 1 Kings 11. I want to go back to at least the origin, where historically as far back as I could go in the Bible. 1 Kings 11, verse number 1. It says, Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, all these women he brought in. From the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wife turned away his heart. And it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And it mentions the different gods and religious observances. Solomon did evil in sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Built a high place, and he did likewise and burned incense and sacrificed to gods in verse number 8. Verse 9, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you, and I will give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David, because of the lineage that would need to be maintained, and the promise to David of the scepter lineage, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. If you go down through this, you begin to see that there were those who were waiting for an opportunity to attack Israel, because Israel under David had expanded and been very, very powerful. Solomon then began to simply live off of the fat of the land, so to speak, the taxes and the abundance and the affluence, and the people were very much oppressed. And when he died, the people said, lighten your load that is on our backs. And the story goes through and begins to show how the adversaries began to push against the outer edges of the empire, because that's where the trade routes were. And when you come in and take over the trade routes, you take over the tax and the tolls and the fees, and that becomes part of the public treasury when you have control. And so Solomon then began to have to raise taxes to make up for the loss of the fees and the income that he had received from the various trades and activities that had been part of the empire David had given to him. And so people began to strengthen their hand against him in this way. You go on down to God then saying to Jeroboam that he would give him 10 tribes out of the 12. Which means Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, Rehoboam, his son, Rehoboam was going to retain Judah, and you will see in the account the other tribe that was with him is Benjamin, and in parts of the tribe of Levi, and eventually immigrated down and settled in Jerusalem later on as well. But by the end of the chapter 11, Solomon dies and Rehoboam reigns. You see the account in chapter 12, of the people crying out to Rehoboam to lighten their load and to make it more reasonable for them to even have a chance to be productive. And Rehoboam listened to his young men and refused to do so. And so there was a split and a rebellion, and Israel and Judah became separate. Notice verse 25 of chapter 12. When you get down there, Jeroboam now wants to establish his rule in Israel. Jeroboam didn't get the 10 tribes because he was an honorable man. He wasn't an honorable man. But Israel was not being honorable before God, and God gave them an evil ruler. And their curses came on their own heads. But in 1 Kings 12, verse 25, Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and he dwelt there, and he went out there and built Penuel, And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of this people will turn back to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me, and they'll go back to Rehoboam, the king. If they worship God the way God said, then they're going to be drawn to the one who represents God in his kingdom in this way. And so he had to change their religious worship. You know, I literally will sit on a given day, and I can look at my hands, and I go, there's skin that covers all my hands, and that's a miracle. And inside of my hands are the blood vessels and all of the miraculous pumping of the heart. And I go, why would anybody believe in evolution? The driving force for evolution is to deny the supremacy of God. That is the driving core issue that supports the entire process. All right? What is the driving core issue that supports the holiday observances? It is the very same issue, to deny the supremacy of God. To keep people from knowing what is true, not that everyone who keeps Christmas believes that that's what they're doing, but that's where it came from. It is Satan's system. So that the people will not only not follow God's servants, but as in Halloween, they will simply be celebrating with Satan. Verse 27, if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their lord Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, the king. Therefore the king took counsel, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. He set one in Bethel, the other in Dan, and this became a sin. Well, it was a sin from the moment. It says, for the people went to worship, it became a sin for all the people. The people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made shrines in the high places, and he made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, which is effectively a month after the Feast of Tabernacles, which falls right into this time frame. Basically, the feasts move and slide a little bit with the calendar, but it falls into the time of Halloween. So like a feast that was in Judah and offered sacrifices on the altar. And so he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made, and at Bethel he installed the priests of the high places that he had made. And he made offerings on the altar that he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he devised in his own heart. He ordained a feast for the children of Israel, offered sacrifices on the altar, and burned incense. Now, a person could argue and say, well, this is not Halloween. It's at the same time as Halloween. But when you will see that Israel descended into demonic practices, the connection is at least more cleanly made. 2 Kings chapter 17. When you turn away from God, you turn toward the opposing way. If you turn away from light, you turn toward darkness. There is no neutral position. You're either building your faith or your faith is being challenged and it is being tested. 2 Kings 17 and verse number 5. Describes when Israel was carried captive to Assyria and why they went into captivity, but it describes what Israel descended into as a result of what Jeroboam had done and through the kings and the times that passed. 2 Kings 17, verse 5. The king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, carried Israel captive to Assyria, placed them, and it mentions the river Gozan and the cities of the Medes. So it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. They walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. The children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God, secretly. Because you hide sin, you hide evil. They were not right, and they built themselves high places in their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. It says, and there they burned incense on all the high places. As the nations had done whom the Lord had carried away before them, they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They served idols, of which the Lord has said, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, namely every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law that I commanded your fathers, which I sent you by my servants the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear. They stiffened their necks, as I addressed recently in the hardening of the heart. The analogy is the same. Like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes, God's laws. They made up their own laws. They rejected the holy days, the feast days. They made up their own days. His covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, a specific reference back to where it began in terms of the breakup of the nation from Judah, made a wooden image, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. Who's Baal? Baal is Satan. Baal is a calf image. Satan is a cherubim. And the main face, the cherubim face of the cherubim, the one that is represented of the cherubim most, is the ox. And so it is giving reference to the fact that, yes, it was Baal. It was Baal by appearance on the land, but it was Satan that they were bowing down for as a result. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. And we say, well, there's no way. How could nobody would ever put up with that now? You couldn't take a child and just burn him on an altar. It would horrify everybody. But no, you can kill him in the womb. We're used to the other. Doesn't even offend in most cases. If you say that is murder, this room will go silent. Because they have been told, you do not say that. You do not think that way. They have papered that over in their minds. They practiced witchcraft and soothsaying. Bobbing for apples was actually part of a witchcraft, a ritual, a soothsaying, a fortune-telling type activity. I mean, a lot of things that go back historically into witchcraft. And sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel. He removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Witchcraft has become very popular in our society, much more so than it ever would have been. Harry Potter books and stories, and some of the demonic reference in the movies and the media, the Wiccan in terms of a religious movement, if you call it a religious movement, it is one of man's religions, I suppose, and the protections, the Gothic dress and manner that goes with it isn't necessarily, I wouldn't call Gothic a religion, but it is a way of darkness, emphasizing darkness. And I looked up, I was reading a little bit on there on Gothic and looking at some of the pictures and how it's described and, you know, what I would have to do if I wanted to be a Gothic and dress or manner. And it goes and it tells you how to do everything and where to get the clothes. And well, that's great, you know, good thing to know, but It said how to make friends. I said I'd like to know how to make friends. And, you know, one of the points was on how to make friends with someone who's kind of in the Gothic manner and dress. Well, one of the points was don't be too happy, because that will put them off. Because this is kind of a depressed subculture that promotes the depression and the rejection of both being rejected by society and rejecting society as well. And of course, it's all black, this, or very striking dark something that goes with it. And it, frankly, it's meant to be offensive. It's just offensive in return. So there's elements of society that constantly now begin to expand, where those that would glorify darkness in various ways have promoted themselves and their ways, and society has become tolerant of it. I dare say, outside of Catholicism, very few people today would even consider Halloween to have any religious significance at all. In terms of religious connection, I say outside of Catholicism, because All Saints' Day and All Hallowed Eve and the observances that go in there that were overlaid on top of the pagan customs by the Catholic Church would be clearly recognized in that environment. But I would say those children standing out on the sidewalk across from our house yesterday, dressed up in a sports figure or something else. Maybe I didn't try to count how many Michael Jacksons there were. But they're just playing a game. What's wrong with having a little fun? What's wrong is it's not true. In fact, it's just like worshiping Baal. You might worship Baal and simply not know any better at all. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't build constructively. It isn't bringing light to the world. It is darkness, descending into darkness and descending into death. Halloween was the worship of the God who was considered Lord of the dead. And Satan certainly has promoted that. And those who follow him, that was what they're going to get. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. The gospel came to reverse that process. Jesus Christ came. John the Baptist announcing Jesus Christ coming. The disciples, the apostles' doctrine passed on to the church going down through the ages to our time today. I still get occasional call. Somebody's interested. They found us somewhere. And they want to know if they can come to church. And I said, please. Come join us. Well, you know, we get a discussion doctrinally in terms of what we believe, and I'll say, we believe that God gave us the instructions on how we should live this life, and that's what we want to do. How would you describe yourself? I would describe us as apostolic. Now, that word might not mean the same thing to everybody, and you might have a different description, but I say, we're apostolic. I said, Christ taught the apostles taught the church what Jesus Christ taught them, and that's equal to the Bible record, but it's what they did. I said, they kept Saturday as the Sabbath. And I can go through and begin to illustrate by example the things they did. I said, we try to do it the way they did it because that's equal to what the Bible says. And we don't recognize man's traditions in opposition to God's words. We don't recognize the holidays that have been made up and invented. And you could go through. I had someone who had studied church history wanted to talk about it. And I said, fine, if you studied church history, then you know where purgatory came from, where Mary worship came from. You know that Martin Luther rejected the authority of the Pope, but not the doctrines that the Pope taught, except for a few. And he still retained Sunday worship and the Trinity and other things. I said, you got to wipe that whole slate clean, completely clean, and you got to go back to just what God said. And I said, that's what we do. And we do it as carefully and as closely as we can. John the Baptist came to announce that Christ was coming. Christ came to announce his kingdom was coming. And the church is the process whereby that embryo of the kingdom has been kept in place. We're light, brethren. And where we are, God says, there will not be darkness. Where there is light, the darkness cannot maintain. And God has that power to use us in that way. Luke 1, verse 76, goes back to the beginning of that process being announced in John the Baptist. Verse 76. You, child, will be called prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Brethren, we were called out of darkness into light. And it's as simple as that. Halloween is a celebration of darkness. It is part of Satan's system in where people turn and actually celebrate with him. God has called us to go another way, the other way. We are light as God is light. And just the fact that we know and understand these things and do them gives a witness in this world that is important and must be maintained. God has allowed us to have the opportunity to understand, and by God's gift, he will use that as he chooses to call others to understand as well.